Turning your Bible to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. We'll be looking at verses 13 through 16 tonight. 1 Peter chapter number 1. I'll begin at verse number 13, and then if you'll join me on the even numbered verses, 14 and 16. And we'll read in 1 Peter chapter number 1. Stand with me, please. And beginning at verse number 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come again. Lord, we're asking that you please be a part of the preaching, Lord. We ask that you please prepare our hearts with the music, but I pray that your Holy Spirit's power would be evidenced during the preaching. Be with our preacher as he speaks. Pray, Lord, that you guide him and give him the words that you want him to say, but Lord, we ask that you would please just be with the service tonight. In your name we pray, amen. You may be seated.
Good music tonight from the special, the offering, and the singing now. That's wonderful. Well, I am back in 1 Peter 1. The different message is on hold. It is written. It is completed right here. It's not highlighted yet because I did not get to some things this morning that I really feel need to be said about this matter of common ground with God. This will probably be the last reference I make to it. In this time frame anyway, to this matter of being on common ground with God. And you know, seriously folks, there are probably 25 to 30 adults in this room now who were not in this room on this Sunday morning or last Sunday morning. We have 12 teachers and helpers in 6 classes. We have maybe C class, and if it meets, has 2 more helpers. We have people taking home the Sunbeam folks. 2 or 3 adults out of in that group. We have some primary church workers upstairs that work every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. So there's probably 25 to 30 adults who haven't been in the Sunday morning services the last 2 weeks because of being in other places. And I'm just eaten up with this. I want it, to me, it's just such a vital truth about living on common ground with God. So if those of you who have been here will bear with me just for a few minutes, and then at the end, I'm going to get to some material that I didn't discuss or deal with this morning, okay? And to thank God for the service this morning. It was a good service. And Gerald and Betty Howard got baptized. That was a blessing. And so just the Lord's been good to us. So I preached 2 weeks ago on common ground. I'll explain that for those of you that weren't in here. And then how to live on common ground with God is what I preached on this morning. Give you just a brief summary, and then we'll get to the material I didn't speak on this morning. Our Father in heaven, my heart yearns to be on common ground with you. Help me tonight, please, to know what to repeat and what not to repeat. This is unusual for me. Lord, I'm a little bit tentative about it. And so I would appreciate Holy Spirit leadership in these next few minutes. Help us, I pray. And then, Lord, may we do something about it. Help us this coming week to live on common ground with you. In Jesus' name, and amen. Common ground. Ground on which two or three or however many people become friends with each other. They develop a relationship that is at ease with each other. It is not stressful. It is not tense. And a common ground relationship allows for a productive, mature, fruitful relationship with another person. I gave the example twice about getting on an airplane with somebody you've never seen before, never crossed paths with them, and you get in the same row of seats, and you got a 4 or 6 hour flight ahead of you, which is a long flight, and you start immediately searching for some common ground, either common ground through work or maybe where you live or hobby or recreation. You start searching for some common ground, and if you can find common ground, it turns that 4 or 6 hour flight into a fun-filled time of dialogue and laughter and sharing stories. You're at ease with the person. They're at ease with you. There's no tension. There's just it's a delightful time because there was common ground. Common ground. If you've ever been on an airplane with somebody who refused to establish a relationship with you, or you couldn't get common ground with them anywhere, boy, that is a long time to be sitting this close to somebody and there's no common ground, okay? It's not at all tense or not at all easy, okay? And so we're talking about common ground with God. Common ground with God. I said last Sunday morning, common ground with God is holy ground. Look at what he said in verse 16. He said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." So common ground with God is holy ground. Number two, he said this, God cannot change. God cannot change. Now you see in verse number 15, "But as he which hath called you is holy." Present tense, when Peter put this on paper in A.D. 60, God is holy. And then he references in verse 16 something that was written almost 1,500 years earlier, okay, in the book of Leviticus. And God said he was holy then. So God is holy in the book of Leviticus, and God is holy in the book of 1 Peter, and God is holy on April 13th, 2014. And God has been holy this whole past week. And so God, so he can't change. He's immutable. He's unchanging. All right. So that leaves one logical thing left, folks. God wants us to get on common ground with him. Common ground with God is holy ground, and God cannot change. So that means we must get on holy ground if we're going to be on common ground with God. And I talked about the advantages of being on common ground with God. And my heart just yearns, since I've been thinking about this for several days now, past last week, to be on common ground with God. I said this morning, I'd like to be on common ground with God because I want to please Him. I want to please Him. Number two, I need Him. I need Him. Now, for sake of those who've not been here, let me reference once again the story that Bill Graham told. And I called Brother Graham and got the exact details from him before I told it last Sunday morning. Now, some of you that were in the concealed carry class, he didn't go into as much detail as I did. He's a police officer in Baton Rouge. He's off duty. He is traveling through the night and he breaks down at 2 o'clock in the morning, car on the side of the road outside of a small town somewhere in the middle of nowhere. He calls 911. "Ma'am, I'm a police officer. I am broken down on the side of the road. Can you get me some help? They send not one, but two squad cars with policemen to help Bill Graham. They determine that it's the water pump. They put him in the squad car, drive him into town. They go to the house of the automobile parts store owner at 2:15, 2:30 in the morning. Our policeman friend is broken down out here and he needs a water pump. Can you help him? He opens his store and gives Brother Graham a water pump free. They put him back in the car. They drive him to the mechanics, a mechanic that they know. 2:30, 2:45 in the morning. Our policeman friend is broken down out here and needs a water pump. So-and-so gave us the pump. Can you put it in? It's 2:45 in the morning, folks. He gets out of bed. They go to the car, install the water pump. In less than an hour and a half, Brother Graham is on his way with badges and other paraphernalia from the police department, little business card. If you're ever passing through this way again and you need help, call us. All of that because Bill Graham had common ground with those police officers. I said this morning, if you or I had broken down out there, those policemen might have given us a ride to a motel room or given us the phone number of a tow truck or said tomorrow morning the parts store is open. But there was common ground with Bill Graham. There's a fraternity among police officers, and they are common ground. And so I make the point, you reckon you ever may need God at 2 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the afternoon or 8 o'clock in the morning. I would suggest to all of us that there are going to be times, plenty of them, when we need God. I'd like to be on common ground with God, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to be on such common ground with God that he wakes up somebody at 2 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock, or whatever it is? I mean, just and does something for us. I'm talking about being on common ground with God. I want to please him. I need him. I want to be ready when Jesus comes so I'm not ashamed at his appearing, which is part of what this context is all about here. So, common ground with God is holy ground. And we ask the question, it's on the stands out here. Why do you put those stands out here? Because as you leave, you're going to look at it and ask you the question, are you on common ground with God? Folks, do you know what happens from the time that we dismiss to the time that you hit the parking lot? Satan snatches the seed out of your mind. Gone. By the time you get to your car, in a lot of cases, you've completely forgotten or even not even thinking about what the text of the message was all about. It's called snatching the seed, taking it away. Doesn't even have any time to work on us. So put those things out there so that walking out, you look at that little sign. Are you on common ground with God? It provokes you. It confronts you. It makes you think about what you heard in church this morning, hopefully longer than you normally would. Am I on common ground with God? If God's ground is holy ground, am I there? Because I want to please him and I need him. And God wants me to be on common ground with him. But if I'm going to get on common ground with God, I'm going to have to live on common ground. I'm not going to re-preach everything. How do I get on common ground? Well, look at it in verse number 15. It says here, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Be ye holy. Be holy as opposed to being unholy. Be holy as opposed to being unholy. It is more than just a position. Now listen, in Christ Jesus, we are holy. Amen? That's our position in Christ. But it's more than just a position in Christ. It is a condition, a way of life. Hold your finger here and turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to look here at what we talked about this morning a little bit. And we're going to go back to 1 Peter. And then what I didn't get back to this morning was back to Ephesians 4. So we're going to end up there in just a little bit tonight. All right? Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 22. Paul here is writing to the Ephesian church. He's talking to them about the old man and the new man. He says in verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Talking about the old way of life and the old man. Put off. Concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt. Now, folks, if the old man is corrupt, that doesn't sound like holy to me. Okay? God says the old man is corrupt. Okay? That's what you and I were born into this world. We had this old nature, this old man, given to us by birth, that was corrupt. All right? Verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I didn't talk about this morning. I forgot to. Maybe God just didn't have me say it for sake of time. But isn't it interesting there that God said true holiness? true holiness. Well, it must be there's a false holiness. There's a real holiness and there's an unreal holiness. Now look, folks, understand, you and I born into this world with this old man which is corrupt. Corrupt. When we get saved, God births in us. He puts in us the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Listen, a lot of people think that holiness is reforming or remaking or turning over a new leaf. God did not tell us to remake the old man, reform the old man. God said, I am going to put within you a new nature. New. It's not the old man remade. It's not the old man remodeled. It is a brand new nature which is created after true holiness. You see, I believe it's possible for unsaved people to pull themselves up a little bit by their bootstraps and turn over a new leaf. It's possible for unsaved people to give up drinking. Sure it is. It's possible for unsaved people to give up promiscuous living, turn over a new leaf, remake the old man. But friend, that's not what God's talking about here. God said, I saved you. And when I saved you, I put in you a new nature, which is created after righteousness in righteousness and true holiness. A new man, a new way of life, a new nature, a new manner of life. And so, friend, you and I are going to decide if we're going to live under the influence of the old nature, which is corrupt, or after the influence of the new nature, which is in true holiness. I'll tell you what, you even got growing up in our homes and in our churches and in our schools, young people who are remodeled old men. Never been born again. No new nature. We can take the old nature, shape him up, clean him up, wash him up, correct him up a little bit, make it look almost like Christianity, but God said that's not real. True, real holiness, real, true holiness only comes after you've met God in a salvation experience and God has put the new nature inside of you. Y'all with me tonight? Okay, that's what's happening here. That's what Paul is saying. Okay, so you got this old man and don't remodel him and don't remake him. Don't clean him up. He said live after the influences of the new man. That divine nature, that is true in righteousness and true holiness. Okay, let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. So he says, be ye holy. Be ye holy. I'm holy, now you be holy. You live after the influence of this new man. He is made in righteousness and true holiness. You live under his influence. Look at verse 15. In all manner of conversation. In all manner of conversation, that's way of life. That's not just talk. It is talk, but it's also walk. It's my way of life. So God says, be holy. Live on holy ground. I want you to be on common ground with me. Common ground is holy ground. And folks, I said this morning, if I want a mature, productive, fruitful, at ease relationship with God, I'm going to have to live on holy ground. That's why some people don't enjoy their Christianity. There's no common ground with God. The music is unholy. The TV is unholy. The language is unholy. The entertainment is unholy. The texting is unholy. And I can't figure out why I don't enjoy church. Why it's such a disaster, why it's such a great to sit through the preaching services. And why I absolutely have no joy whatsoever in any of the gospel songs. And you may be saved. You may be saved. But you're not on common ground with God. And if you're on common ground with God, which is holy ground, you're going to be at ease with God. I don't mean like a buddy. I'm talking about reverence, but it's going to be an at ease, productive, fruitful relationship. If we live after the influence of that new nature, that new man, which is created in true holiness. I'm losing my voice. I'm not going to be able to get loud, so listen carefully. I need to get on holy ground. Because holy ground is common ground with God. How do I do it? Number one, I said this morning, be mindful of your ground. Look at verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. You got to think about it. You've got to think about your life. You've got to examine the ground you're on, folks. Examine your walk. Examine it. Look at your music. Look at your television. Look at your videos or DVDs. Look at your text messages. Look at your social media. Look at it all. Look at your dress. Look at your entertainment. Is it? Be mindful. Is it pleasing to God? Is it on holy ground? Okay? Think about it. Gird up the loins of your mind. They wore those long robes. They got ready to run. They didn't want to run with those robes running around their ankles. They pulled them up and tucked them into their waistband. Now they're ready. They're careful. They're alert. They're on guard. And that's what Peter says. You got to have your mind alert. You got to have your mind thinking. You can't drive down Interstate 80 and see the gentleman club board and just stare at it, look at it, and stare. You got to be mindful. That's not holy ground. No, sir. Got to be mindful. Got to be alert. Got to be thinking about it. Got to be looking ahead. Got to be ready. Think about it. Am I on holy ground? Ponder it. Consider it. As an obedient child, he said in verse number 14. I said this morning, obedient children think about obeying their parents. They think about living like their parents want them to. It's a matter it's thinking and being aware, okay? And I said today, most people don't want to think about it because it makes us uncomfortable. But folks, that's okay. You know, I love that story in John chapter 5 where the multitude of impotent folk were by the pool of Bethesda. Remember that? And how the angel would come down and trouble the water. And the first one to it was healed. You realize that placid waters never healed anybody? Calm waters never healed anybody. Troubled waters. He stirred up the waters. And we don't want God to bother us. We don't want to be bothered with, is my music holy? We don't want to be bothered with, is my dress holy? Hey, listen, parents, dads, moms, your teenage girls grow up. They change shape. You've got to be mindful. You think about it. You just can't traipse through life. Is this holy? We don't want to think about it because it makes us uncomfortable. Gave the old illustration of Billy Sunday, and the woman came to him and said, man, your preaching rubs my fur the wrong way. He said, turn the cat around. Turn the cat around. Think about it, folks. So why don't I want to think about it? What, do you want to be on common ground with God? You want to be on common ground with the Lord? Huh? So that when you call Him at 2:00 in the morning, can I get some help? Common ground with God is holy ground. So I got to think about it. Am I an obedient child? How am I doing? How's my music? How's my texting? How's my talk? How's my conversation? How's my dress? How's my entertainment? How's my manner of life? I talked this morning about too many of God's people using the language of the world in their text messaging. OMG. Oh my God. My God what? Hope you got something good to say about God. If you're going to use His name like that. We'll be talking about that down the road too. Using His name rightly. Okay? But I'm talking about, we've got to think about it. I'm hurrying through this because as obedient children, look at what He says. And then as we carry on, not, verse 14, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Look, you don't need a Greek dictionary to figure what that's talking about. Look at it. Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust. What's He talking about? The old life. Unsaved. Out of church. Not in the Bible. And you know, in some cases it was a matter of ignorance. Some cases we just didn't know. But now, you're saved. Now, you've got a new nature created in righteousness and true holiness living inside of you. You don't go back and take the old life and try to fit it into your new life. You don't go back and take the old nature, the old lust of the old nature, and try to remodel it, reshape it. Behold, that therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, I understand for kids, there's not going to be the drastic change that there is externally, that there is for adults. And when I got saved, my music changed. When I got saved, some of my habits changed. I didn't drag my music. And I said this morning, people talk about the good old days in the 70s when big churches were being built and folks were being saved. Yeah, you know what else was going on? God's people were bringing rock and roll records in and smashing them. busting them up in church services. Y'all remember that? Marion Avenue, Brother Maxwell, back there? Absolutely. I had that closet full of rock and roll albums and trying to grow in grace and live for God. I remember the day when it finally dawned on me, I can't grow in grace and live for God and be on common ground with the Lord with all those rock and roll records. Get rid of them. Get them out. Get them gone. That's what I'm talking about. Fashioning, forming, giving shape to. Try to fit the world into Christianity. Take as much of the world as I can and make it Christian. Sprinkle some spoofle dust on it and make it, you know, instead of rock, Christian rock. Add Jesus and God, and it's the same beat and the same syncopation and the same everything, the same chords, discords. And going to call it Christian rock. And I mentioned this morning, the weddings. I don't know what's happened to our church. I don't know what's happened to our folks. They've gone nuts with weddings. Absolutely nuts with wedding gowns that are off the shoulder, strapless. Where did we ever get? I think where we got it. The former lusts. And now we got dancing at receptions. This is becoming very big. And a DJ. And the bride and groom dance and the daddy-daughter dance. And let's have a little wine at the reception. And Heavenly Father, we hope you get honor and glory from everything we do here. Excuse me? We don't know what we're saying. We know what we're saying. Asking God to get honor and glory from partial nudity and alcohol and dancing? We know what we're saying. You've got to be kidding. You can't be serious. And I said this morning, I'm glad nobody's planning a summer wedding right now that I know of, because that kind of nonsense is not going to happen as long as I'm the pastor of this church. You get married somewhere else. We're not going there. What an opportunity for a holy, wonderful, happy time on a wedding day. Take all our morality and throw it out the window because it's wedding day? No, I don't think so. On and on and on. Now, I talked about that kind of thing. And then number two, so be mindful of it. Get serious about it. Look at what he said in verse 13. Be sober. That means get serious about it. You know what? Folks, you know what getting on holy ground with God means? You and I may have to change something. Wouldn't that be terrible? Change something to be on common ground with God? Change something? Yeah, like throw the music out, get the television under control, and in many cases, the only people that can control a television are the ones that don't have them. Now, if you've got one and you can control it, I say amen. It's okay, fine. Your business. But friend, I'm telling you, why is it so revolting to us to think that we may have to change something to get on common ground with God? And you know, God kind of changed things in heaven when he sent Jesus to this earth for 33 and a half years to die on the old rugged cross. But now, wait a minute. Here's what I want you to see that I didn't talk about this morning. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Because things like music and movies and entertainment and alcohol and, you know, we can all say amen to that, smoking dope. Yeah, you ought to change all that stuff, man, since you've been saved. Get away from it all. I want you to see here, look at what God says after verse number 24, where he says, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Look at the very first thing he mentions after that, wherefore putting away lying. Folks, you can't be on common ground with God and be a liar. Now, that's not as elaborate as giving up music, smashing rock and roll records. But I would venture to say that more people have trouble with lying than with rock and roll music. You can't lie to your parents and be on common ground with God. You can't lie to your spouse and be on common ground with God. See, it's not just the external stuff. It's the internal. Stop your lying. I want you to live on holy ground with me. Last time I checked, God is truth. Stop your lying. Read on here. Look at what it says. Look at verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Get your anger under control. There's a way to be righteously angry, but not beyond the point of it becoming sin. Get your anger under control. Get your temper under control. That's a lot more difficult than giving up smoking. Especially if you're not smoked. Well, I don't smoke. Well, good. Never. I'm glad you don't. But how about temper? Well, I just can't change that. That's then the guy that's an alcoholic and he says he can't change. Don't you give him a hard time. Because the same God that can change his drunkenness can change your anger. Get it under control. Be angry and sin not. Look at verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more. Don't be a thief. Look at verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Boy, does this verse reach out and grab old nature Terry Angel? That is a problem with him. A bigger problem in former years than it is now, because some years ago, God's Spirit smote me about that. You use your words and your tone of voice to rip and tear. And God said, let your communication, which proceedeth out of your mouth, be that which is good to the use of edifying, building up. Well, that's just the way I was raised. That's just my nature. No. That's just your old nature. You got a new nature in you that's created in true holiness. See, we like to shout about all the other stuff, but this is where we live right here. Look at verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 31, bitterness. You can't be on holy ground with God and be bitter. Wrath, anger, there we go again. Clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. See, folks, it's not just the alcohol. It's not just the rock music. It's not just the gambling casinos. It's not just all those external things. It's these internal matters as well. If I'm going to be on holy ground with God, I'm going to have to get these things fixed as well. Common ground with God is holy ground. I'm going to have to get under the influence of that new nature which is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now watch it. I gave this illustration, this story this morning to finish it up. You remember Moses in the desert. The bush is on fire. I always use this side. Bush is on fire, okay? Bush is on fire. So Moses is over here. He looks across. And bush is on fire. No big deal. That happens in the arid weather out there, Palestinian weather. It's not a big deal for a bush to catch on fire, lightning strike. But he looks again. 30 minutes later, it's still burning. 30 minutes later, it's still burning. 30 minutes later, it's still on fire. So now he says, I will turn aside and I will find out what's going on. This is not normal. So he goes over and you know what happens, right? God's in that bush. Right? God's in that bush. Draw not nigh hither. Stop. Don't you come any closer. Take your shoes off. Because the ground where I'm standing and where I want you to come is holy ground. Shoes. That represents my point of contact with this world. Represents my point of contact with this world. It's how I walk through this world. God says, I want you to be close to me. But you're going to have to stay a distance. Unless you come on holy ground. Get on holy ground. Friend, I don't know about you. I don't know what you want for your life, for your family, your marriage, your home. I have got to be close. I've got to be close. I don't want to live a distance apart. And if I'm going to be close and common ground with God, I've got to get on holy ground, which is my music's got to be holy and my entertainment's got to be holy. And so does my temper. And so does my tongue. And so does my spirit, my bitterness, jealousy. You say, nobody really has a problem with jealousy. Don't kid yourself. We may have lost a new convert because somebody was jealous. Don't tell me people don't have a problem with jealousy. We can shout about giving up the gambling and have a jealous heart. That's not holy. That's not common ground with God. That's unholy. I'm eating up with this thing. I want to get on common ground with God. We talk about, man, the 70s and people weren't getting saved. Do you understand, folks, that when some of us got saved in the 70s, there was such a marked contrast between saved and lost? We could see it. You understand what I'm saying? There was such a marked contrast between saved people and lost people. It was like, whoa. 35, 40 years later, it's just all kind of melted together. It's just kind of melted together. I can bring my rock music and my alcohol and my dancing and my Bible and Jesus and the Holy Ghost and just have it all. I don't think so. I think the God who was holy back in the 70s is still holy today. And that's where I want to be. Let's stand together. We're going to pray again. We're going to ask the Lord's blessing on this. And I appreciate your patience if you've been in here. I just wanted to add that last little bit. Father in heaven, help us to be holy. God, help us to think about it, to be serious about it, to be on common ground with you. Father, help us, please. Internally and externally, body, soul, and spirit, help us to live after the influence of the new man created in true holiness. In Jesus' name.